Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome again, all the Blood River Radio fans out there. This is Mark Tommy, and I am filling in as a guest host for Eddie for the show today. He had a medical emergency earlier today, and so I'm going to do my best to fill his shoes, and those are big shoes to fill. But hopefully we'll be able to do an informative and entertaining show for you today, and you'll get some hopefully get something out of it. As Eddie always likes to do at the beginning of the show, would like to, on his behalf, extend a very big thank you to all the people out there who donate to help keep Blood River Radio on the air. It's very important for this show to continue to be able to do its work, and it can't be done without the generous support of all you listeners out there. So, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for all of the financial and moral support that you provide to Blood River Radio. And also in keeping with the way that Eddie typically likes to open the show, we will offer a prayer to our Father in Heaven and ask for his blessings upon our endeavors. So if you will pause with me for a moment, we'll pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father in Heaven, we ask you to give us wisdom and courage and strength to fight the battles that we face on behalf of our people and on behalf of your kingdom. Continue to help us to fight the good fight, to put on the armor of God, and to do what is necessary for the betterment of our people. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Ghost, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And as today is the feast of St. John Capistrano, we will also ask for his intercession on our behalf. So, St. John Capistrano, pray for us. All right, Blood River Radio fans, the first hour, I'm going to going to be running solo here for a little bit, and so we're primarily going to talk about Southern independence this first hour, the need for the South to be free of the United States Empire. In the second hour, we're going to have a couple of guests from Canada on with us, Paul Fromm and Les Borey. These gentlemen have been fighting the good fight for the freedom of speech against the Marxist government in Canada. So I'm sure that they will have some interesting things to tell us and will hopefully give us some hope for being able to stave off here in what's left of America from having that kind of thing happen here. And in the third hour, we'll have our bitter ender, Mr. Gene Andrews, and he and I will have a little discussion about Southern and Confederate history to close out the show. So we hope you'll hang around for all of this. Hopefully we'll be able to inspire you and inform you and keep you entertained at the same time. So to start the show, as I said, let's talk a little bit about the idea of Southern independence. I've been a Southern nationalist for about 30 years now. I joined what used to be called the League of the South back in 1996, and have stayed with that organization all the way through when it finally had to shutter its doors as a result of the Charlottesville lawsuits that were brought back after that event in 2017. But we have been resurrected under a new name. We're now called the Southern Nationalist League. And it's a new name, but the same mission. We believe that it is desirous and best for the people of the South to once again exert their right to govern themselves in their own free and independent republic out from under the tyranny and the oppression of the United States of America. Basically to finish the job that our ancestors started back in the 1860s. And there are a lot of people who, when they hear this, they kind of poo-poo on that idea, and they think, oh, you know, we tried that once, and you know, it probably can't happen, so it's kind of a pipe dream to even try to think about it again. But we would beg to differ with the people who have that kind of mindset, because as long as there is still a remnant of the Southern people out there who believe in themselves, believe in the history and the culture and the heritage of their people, and are willing to join us in trying to make it happen, then it's not impossible. We always invoke the favor and blessing of God with our undertakings. The motto of our organization is to advance the cultural, social, economic, and political well-being and independence of the Southern people by all honorable means. And so every day we try to strive to live up to that. And we believe in those things because we look around today and we look at the South and we see that Reconstruction marches on. The Union armies may have marched out of the South in 1877, but the domination of our region of the so-called United States has continued apace for the last 150 plus years. And in spite of a lot of the propaganda to the contrary, it's fairly obvious for those who are willing to, as I like to say, who are willing to wipe the star-spangled fairy dust out of their eyes and see things for what they really are, rather than continuing to believe lies and fairy tales that come from Washington, D.C., it's fairly obvious that the Southern people suffer way more than they benefit from their attachment, their forced attachment, I might say, to this Lincolnian Union that was created by Mr. Lincoln's Revolution in 1865. And so in spite of what may appear on the surface to be certain advantages, like, for example, here in the area of Alabama where I live, Huntsville is about 50 miles north of me, and it has become the most federal city in Alabama. You have the Redstone Arsenal, you have NASA, you have the FBI, and coming soon, you're going to have Space Command. And so officials in Huntsville, you know, the elected officials, they like to spend a lot of time blowing a lot of hot air about how great it is that the federal government is bringing all these high-paying technical jobs for engineers and other people like that to this part of Alabama, and look at how we're growing, and oh, isn't this great? But the flip side of that coin is that Huntsville is being overrun by people being brought in from outside the South who have no appreciation for our culture, for our way of life, who, as a matter of fact, most of them probably hold it in disdain. And so they come here, they don't want to assimilate, as it were. They don't want to enjoy our beautiful landscapes. They don't want to enjoy our way of life. They want to come in here and change everything. And so you've got all these people running around who, when you listen to them talk, you know they're not from the South. And the culture of the area is being changed day by day. You can't even really call Huntsville a southern town anymore because it has become so federalized and part of this military-industrial complex that Dwight Eisenhower warned us about when he was leaving the presidency of the U.S. back in the late 50s. And so, and the same can be said for a lot of other situations here too, not only here in this part of Alabama, but across the South. You've also had, there's the music for the first break. We'll continue the discussion as soon as we come back. So stick around.
For Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Welcome back, Blood River Radio fans. Going to continue our discussion about the advantages of striving for Southern independence for the rest of this hour. And to pick up where we left off, we were talking about the military-industrial complex in places like Huntsville, Alabama, and of course lots of other places around the South. I guess it's part of our warrior tradition. We come from a stock of people from Europe who love to fight, the Irish and the Scots, and so they take advantage of that, and they put a lot of military bases all around the South. And at one time, they actually named them after Confederate generals and heroes, but of course, that's all gone now too. And if a young Southern boy wants to join the U.S. military, which we highly discourage, they won't. If you have a Confederate flag tattoo, they won't even let you in. So why do you want to fight for somebody who hates you and your people and where you come from and all the things that you really believe in? It doesn't seem to make much sense to us. But the other thing that you see going on here, too, is that with the rise of the power of big corporations, you've had the destruction of family farming, which has been the backbone of a Southern agrarian society and tradition ever since the founding of the original American Republic. You've got big corporations like Tyson Foods, Archer Daniels Midland, and all, and they basically control food production and food distribution anymore, and it makes it very difficult for us to get good, nutritious, wholesome food because of all of the things that they do in order to make the animals and the plants grow faster or to be insect resistant. And as a result of all this, it takes most of the food value out of it and actually makes it dangerous for us to consume. And then you add the injury to the insult of that is that they very much take advantage of hiring all of these illegal aliens that have come into the country to work at their chicken plants and on their corporate farms and so forth. Again, here in northern Alabama, it's a big problem. Right here in the little small town I live in, there's a Tyson processing plant here, and pretty much everybody who works there is an illegal immigrant of some kind. You know, it's one of those hush hush, don't talk about it. It's one of those best kept secret kind of things, but everybody knows it's going on. And so this only contributes to the immigration problem that we have here too. You know, we're being overrun by people from all over the world who do not share our values, who do not share our way of life, do not share our religion. You know, a belief in Jesus Christ and the idea that we would like to have a Christian society and a Christian government to rule over us and to be part of. As a matter of fact, they're hostile to that. All you have to do is just look a little bit at the news that you see these days and look at what's going on in places like New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and other places where you have Muslims rallying, you know, talking about they're going to take over the country. And people from all over other parts of the third world as well, causing nothing but chaos, mayhem, committing crimes. And heaven forbid that you mention that. Of course, the mainstream media and the U.S. government, they're going to tell you that diversity is our strength and that it's wonderful that all these people are here. But the reality of it on the ground is the polar opposite of all of the propaganda that the government and the corporate media spews out at us every day about all of this stuff. When it gets to the point where it's not safe for white people to walk the streets or ride the public transportation for fear of being beat up or murdered by some of these people, then something's terribly wrong. The stories don't quite match up. And so this is a problem that needs a solution, but the U.S. government has been talking about doing something about immigration for the last 20, 30 years at least, maybe a little bit longer, but yet nothing improves. It only gets worse. You know, each new administration is more than happy to grant amnesty to the ones that are already here. And it doesn't matter whether it's Republicans or Democrats, folks. You need to wake up from that delusion as well. There's only one party that has power under the U.S. regime. And one faction goes by the name Democrat. The other faction goes by the name Republican. And as the great governor of Alabama, George Corley Wallace, once said, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them. And nowadays, that was back in the early 60s, and nowadays I'm not so sure there's even a penny's worth of difference between them. They both pursue the same policies and objectives, regardless of which one of them's in power. You know, I can remember when I was a college student at the University of Arkansas back in 1980 when Ronald Reagan was running for president against Jimmy Carter. And of course, Carter, while he was in office, created the Federal Department of Education as a cabinet post. Well, Ronald Reagan, I very clearly remember watching the debates on television with my fraternity brothers, and Reagan made the promise that if he was elected, he would abolish the Federal Department of Education. Well, here we are 40 plus years later, and it's bigger and worse than ever. So much for Republican promises of small government and you know, government's the problem and all this other kind of stuff. It never works out the way that they promise. Whatever they say always turns out to be a lie, and we pay the price, whether it's in a decreased standard of living, higher prices, our jobs being shipped overseas, or illegal immigrants being allowed to come here and take them away from us. It was another anecdote in that regard. I remember 15 years ago when my youngest son graduated from the University of Texas at Arlington with his engineering degree, and we went to the graduation ceremony, and they gave away in the group, the auditorium where we were, they probably handed out 500 diplomas that day. And out of all the 500 names they called, maybe 50 to 75 of them were an Anglo-Saxon sounding name. The rest of them were names from the Middle East or from Asia or from Africa. Now, you know, this is, again, this is a fundamental problem. As an engineer myself, I have seen the slow takeover of a lot of engineering jobs here in this country by East Indians and some people from the Middle East and whatnot. And we need those jobs for our people. We've got to do something to reverse this problem. But the U.S. government's not going to do it. They like these people coming over here. They like them because they come over here and work cheap. And all that does is destroy our standard of living and the ability for our up-and-coming generation to be able to find a job and make a decent living themselves. But again, the U.S. government's not going to do anything about it, so we're going to have to. And the solution to that problem is not voting harder, not voting Republican. It's not Donald Trump. Let's just look at what Trump's doing right now. I mean, he's gotten us into another no-win war over here that's going to make the national debt soar. It's going to get a bunch of Southern boys killed when they send them over there to put their quote-unquote boots on the ground. And it's time that we woke up and said, enough is enough. You know, the South has paid more than its fair share with blood and treasure for an empire that absolutely despises us and would like nothing better than to see us disappear from the face of the earth. Now, if you don't want that to happen, then you need to give up on this silly pipe dream called the United States. You need to quit slapping your hand over your heart and pledging allegiance to their candy stripe flag. And you need to wake up and realize that the only sane and workable option for fixing these problems is for the South to no longer be part of the United States of America. If you look at polls that are taken over the last 10 years or so, you'll see that the approval rating for secession has been steadily increasing during that time. And you'll also see that more and more people are beginning to lose confidence in the U.S. government. Their approval rating is at an all-time low. But yet, the regime has done a really good propaganda job. They've between the government school system, which brainwashes our kids every day with to be good little obedient interchangeable cogs of the regime, instead of truly educating them to be able to think critically and independently, the problem just gets worse day by day by day. And so separation from this to create our own independent political, economic, social, and cultural existence outside of that regime is the only thing that really makes sense anymore. I've been following American politics pretty actively for 50 years now. And in spite of all the promises and all of the pledges that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, it never materializes. It has only gotten steadily worse. And as Albert Einstein was reputed to have said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So we'll pick it up again on the other side of the break, folks.
Program. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. Iranian-backed Houthi rebels have claimed a missile launch toward Israel, their first since the war in the Middle East started.
A Houthi military spokesman said in a statement aired Saturday morning on a rebel satellite television station that the Houthis fired a barrage of ballistic missiles targeting what he described as sensitive Israeli military sites in southern Israel. The attack came hours after the group said vaguely in a statement that they would join the war. Sirens went off around Israel's southern city of Beersheba and the area near Israel's main nuclear research center as Iran and Hezbollah continued to fire on Israel overnight. Loud explosions also filled the air in Tel Aviv, and Israel's fire and rescue service said it was responding to 11 different impact sites across the metro area. I'm Charles DeLedesma.
Golfing legend Tiger Woods faces two charges after he was arrested on suspicion of DUI following a rollover crash on Jupiter Island just before 2 p.m. Friday. At a press conference in Jupiter, Martin County Sheriff John Budenzeich says that Tiger did not test positive for alcohol after he flipped his Range Rover after trying to overtake another vehicle on a narrow road.
We had DRE experts evaluating him, and they believe from on scene that he was not impaired on alcohol. They believe it was some type of medication or drug. And again, at the jail, he cooperated with the breathalyzer, and then the urine he wanted no part of.
Deputies say the crash occurred at 281 South Beach Road, which is near Woods' home. President Trump is hosting a UFC fight on White House grounds to celebrate his 80th birthday, June the 14th, and the nation's 250th anniversary. The president has long supported UFC, and during his 2024 campaign, he used those ties to attract voters who weren't traditionally politically engaged. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF, 800, the number 4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the second half of the first hour of Blood River Radio, and we're going to pick up where we left off with a little bit more talk about Southern independence and why it's a good idea. I spent most of the first part of the hour talking about a lot of the problems associated with the South being part of the United States, but let's talk about some of the positives that would result from Southern independence and not being beholden to the tyrants of Mordor on the Potomac any longer. As I mentioned earlier, you know, there's a lot of polling data out there over the last 10, 15 years that clearly shows that when you talk to Southern people and ask them about the important issues of the day, whether it's abortion, homosexuality, taxation, immigration, energy, any of these things, economics, it's pretty clear that if we were governing ourselves according to our own principles and worldview, that we would do things very differently than we're forced to do them as a result of being an appendage of the U.S. empire. Again, abortion, for example, you know, it's been very obvious over the last 20 to 30 years that Southern people are adamantly against the idea of abortion. Every Southern state has either amended its constitution or passed statutes that outlaws the abortion procedures. And yet every time that we've done that, some suit is filed in a federal court and some federal judge sitting far away slaps us on the back of the hand and says, no, 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 bad Alabama, bad Arkansas, bad Georgia, you cannot do that. So when we try to fix a problem, they prevent us from doing so. Same thing with homosexuality. Every Southern state has tried to do something to outlaw the abomination of the idea of homosexual unions. Here again, if the South were free and governing herself, such a thing would not even be a topic for discussion, much less something that we have to put up with and have shoved down our throats day after day, either by the government or by the media. On the energy front, let's look at what's happening right now. In the last 3 weeks or so since this war in Iran has begun, the price of gasoline has skyrocketed. Before the war started here in my area of Alabama, the average price for gas was about $2.39 a gallon. Most of the gas stations I drove by earlier today, it's either $3.69, $3.79, $3.89. And, you know, think about what that does to your bottom line, to your family budget, especially if you have to commute very far to go to work every day. It really puts a crimp in your income stream. But we've done a little research and found out that out of all the oil that is produced in North America, 60% of it comes from the South. Out of all the natural gas that's produced in North America, about a little over 50% of it comes from the South, and about 40% of all the coal in North America comes from Southern states. Now, these percentages are based on the restrictions that the federal government puts on the production of those resources. And if the South were independent, and we controlled our own resources, and we decided how much oil we pulled out of the ground and how much natural gas and how much coal we pulled out of the ground, an independent South could be an energy giant on the world stage, rivaling the Middle East or anybody else in the rest of the world. There's just no doubt about it, based on the statistics and the information, and the fact that we are the ones who have the resources. Why should we let somebody else be in control of our wealth? It just doesn't make any sense. I had a good friend years ago back in Louisiana who practiced oil and gas law in the federal courts there in New Orleans, and it gave him ulcers. He told me one time, he said, you know, Mark, he said, I had to quit practicing law because it was killing me. He said, I go into a federal court and I try to defend the state of Louisiana from being robbed blind by the Department of the Interior, and it doesn't matter what we say or what we do or how well we argue. They still rob us blind day after day after day. The port of New Orleans is the second busiest port in North America. Imagine if we were independent and all of the ports along the Gulf Coast and the Eastern Seaboard that are part of the South, if we controlled those ports and had an economic policy of bordering on the idea of free trade, where we had low tariff rates and we're willing to exchange goods with the rest of the world, imagine how much commerce, more commerce than already does, would flow through New Orleans and Galveston and Brunswick, Georgia, and Jacksonville, Florida, and Wilmington, North Carolina, and so on and so forth. The South could be wealthy beyond our wildest dreams if we were not under the thumb of the U.S. empire. Now, the other part, the flip side of that coin, too, though, is the economic aspect of it as far as money and taxation policies goes. The United States has basically made a slave of every working person in America via what they euphemistically call the income tax that was foisted on us back in 1913 in the wee hours of the evening before Congress went home and all of that kind of stuff. And so as a result, every person who works for a living, they have their wages stolen from them by the U.S. government. And to add insult to injury on that score, they've turned their employees into uncompensated tax collectors who are forced to withhold that money under the pain of fines and imprisonment. This is not freedom, folks. This is slavery. Your wages are not income. Your wages are an even swap with your employer. You give him a certain amount of hours each week, and he compensates you with a certain amount of money in return. There's no profit there. There's no gain there. And it's immoral and unconstitutional for them to take the bread out of your mouth before you ever get a chance to take a bite of it. It's insane. You know, we have an amendment on the Constitution that says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States except for punishment of a crime. Well, guess what? You're an involuntary servant. Every time you get paid, you're involuntarily having to cough up 30 to 40% of your wages to the federal government in Washington. And a free South, that would no longer be the case. There would be no tax on your wages. So you would be able to imagine how much better you could live, even on a meager salary, if you weren't having 30 to 40% of your wages confiscated before you could get your hands on them. How much nicer a house could you live in? You know, maybe you could put your children in a private school. You could save for your own, better save for your retirement. The list goes on and on, folks. The advantages are legion. You could afford your own health insurance. You wouldn't have to rely on the government's socialist medical program in order to be able to go to the doctor or the hospital. It's completely doable, because the idea of a free South would be the government would actually live up to the promise of being small and unobtrusive in your life. We would not try to be everybody's sugar daddy the way the U.S. government is. There would be no great society. There would be no welfare programs. Charity would go back where it rightfully belongs, with the church and with private individuals who are motivated by a sentiment of charity to found and finance philanthropic organizations to help feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and so forth, and house those who have no place to live. All of that can be done privately much more efficiently and on much less money than the way the government does it. For them, it's for the U.S. government, it's nothing more than a method of controlling you. And we don't want, in a free South, the government won't want to control you. It will want to set you free to be able to be the best you can possibly be. And in another way of helping do that is to have honest banking and honest money. Here again, in the U.S., we've been stuck with the Federal Reserve System, which is not part of the federal government, in case you didn't know. It's a private Jewish banking corporation that loans money to the federal government. And there's nothing... Oh, there we go, another break. We'll finish up after this. And stick around, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to try to wrap up this hour here with our talk on Southern independence, and let me pick up where I left off on the money and banking issue. Again, you know, we've been saddled with our money being controlled by a private banking cartel, and over the years, the money has been decoupled from anything of value. Typically, the way it worked prior to the Federal Reserve was that the U.S. government could not issue any more paper money than it had gold and silver in the national treasury to back it up. There was a time when you could take a $20 bill to your bank and hand it to them, and they would have to give you a $20 gold piece. Try doing that today. You'll get laughed at, maybe even arrested. So, again, in a free South, we would have sound money backed by gold and silver, and there would be no private banking corporations controlling the money anymore. This is the reason why you can't get ahead in the U.S. empire, no matter how hard you work, no matter how much you save, between the confiscatory income tax, taking your money away from you before you ever even get a chance to touch it. On the back end, you have the hidden tax of inflation, which is created by this fiat money system that we've been forced to live under for the last 110 years or so. So, you know, if you put $100 in a mason jar today, in about 10 years, it'll be worth $10 because we've been taught to think about inflation in the wrong terms. You know, everybody always talks about rising prices. Well, it's not rising prices. It's devaluation of the money. Your money does not have the same purchasing power today that it had 10 years ago or even 10 weeks ago for that matter. And this is a big problem. You know, as I've told people before, you know, it really doesn't take any more time or energy for a chicken to lay an egg now than it did 100 years ago. The only reason that a dozen eggs cost as much as it does today versus what it cost 100 years ago is because your money is not worth anything. Again, in a free South, you would have honest money and honest banking so that if you save a dollar in 10, 20, 30 years from now, it'll still be worth a dollar and it'll still have the same purchasing power. You know, what's not to like about all this stuff? You know, and on the cultural side, we wouldn't have our history and our heroes denigrated and reviled the way that they are. You know, we could put our statues back up. We could fly our flags. We could sing our songs. We could be proud of what our ancestors did and not have to apologize or be ashamed for it. You know, we've got to convince the Southern people that they have to transfer their loyalties from this illusory fake regime in Washington, D.C. that really wants you destroyed back to your own blood and soil. That's what human society has been constituted on for most of its history. You know, the artificial nation state, like the United States, like modern Germany, like modern France and so forth, didn't exist until a couple of hundred years ago. You know, if you look at the history of Europe, there was no Germany as we know it today back in the 1800s. It was a collection of various kingdoms. You had Prussia, you had Bavaria, you had Saxony and so forth. They all had their own kings, their own governments, their own armies. They did things their own way. There was no united Germany until Bismarck came along in the 1870s. And even the United States was originally founded to be a federated republic. It, you know, your country is Alabama or Georgia or Arkansas. Your country is not the United States of America. The United States of America is nothing but the federal government system that was put in place by the ratification of the Constitution. Everybody was a citizen of their state. This is the reason Robert E. Lee refused to command the Union forces when Lincoln offered it to him in 1861. He said, "I cannot raise my sword against my home and my family." And his father or grandfather, who fought in the American Revolution, famously said, "Virginia is my country." Not the United States, Virginia. And in a free South, we would be able to get back to that idea. You know, your tribe, your blood, your soil, the place where you're born and raised, and the people that are raised around you, and all of their shared history and inheritance, that's your country. That's your country. That's your nation. You know, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, if we're going to demand that words mean things, then let's look back to the root meanings of some of these words. The English word nation comes from the Latin word natio, which means to be born. So it necessarily implies a genetic or blood tie to the people that you are born into and raised by. And the word patria has to do with where we get our word patriotism, has to do with your native land, your fatherland. And so true patriotism, properly understood from the Southern perspective, is I love Alabama first, and I love the rest of the Southern states next, and the last thing I give a tinker's damn about is the United States of America. And that's the proper Southern attitude. That's we've got to get our people to shake off this delusion, this brainwashing that they've been subjected to for the last 150 years. So would encourage all of you to give this stuff some thought, do some research on it yourself. A good place to start in doing that research is to go to our website for the Southern Nationalist League. That website is, of course, www.southernatleague.com. A lot of the things that I've been discussing and legions more are very well laid out on that website in various videos, position papers, and news articles, and so forth. So there's a wealth of information there for you folks to absorb, and we would encourage you to subscribe to the site, subscribe to our publication, The Free Magnolia, where you can get articles about all this stuff on a regular basis. And, of course, ultimately, we would love for you folks out there to join the Southern Nationalist League and help us organize locally around the South to make the dream of Southern independence a reality for ourselves and our posterity. If we don't get ourselves free from this empire, we will very likely fade into the distant memory of history. And I, for one, don't want to see that happen, and I'm sure you don't either. So I encourage you again to join us, go to our website, read, do your research, and give your loyalty where it actually belongs, to your people and to the place that you call home. And if we do that, then with God's help, we will save the South from destruction. So I think I've just about run up on the end of the hour here, but hope you have gotten something out of this discussion I guess it's not a discussion, this monologue that I've been giving for the last hour, and join up with us and help get the South free so that we can have true prosperity for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren. We don't want to see them. We don't want to see our people go out with a whimper. Let's join together and win our freedom with a bang. That would be the much better option for all of us. All right. Well, it sounds like I'm hearing the music in the background. Got one more minute. Okay. I thought I heard it coming, starting to play. So, anyway, thank you for listening in. Again, I hope you've gotten something out of some of the things that I've mentioned today, and that above all, you will act on what you've heard and join us in the fight for a free and independent Southern Republic. We need you. The South needs you. Your children need you. Your grandchildren need you. So, don't be afraid. Our ancestors, they marched into the face of cannon and musket fire. All you have to do is join an organization and attend some meetings and go to some, maybe do some public advocacy work and help us achieve our goal. You won't necessarily have to face the kind of harrowing circumstances that they did on the battlefields all across the South back in the 1860s. So let's summon the courage that marched with Lee and charged with Jackson and win our freedom.